Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
Welcome to the SDF
Hello,
conference
Hello, and
system.
Welcome.
One
this
other party is in this
SDF
conference.
Open VoIP. To join the conversation, please dial 929-299-1269. That's 929-299-1269.
There are two other parties in this conference.
Silence. All right. Mass choice, mass relation.
There are three other parties in this conference.
Oh.
Hey.
Hey, it's M&J.
Hey, LD Beth.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Oh, my data cable, like, it broke yesterday.
Your data cable?
So, do you know that, that the coverage is reverse engineering.
I don't know. Say that again.
Oh, so the QQ bridge I wrote.
Oh, it broke.
So yeah, it needs get passed through a capture to like get logged in. And I connect my iPhone to my laptop and like do the capture on my phone. And that data cable like get broke yesterday. So if the phone get offline, I'm like unable to do the capture again.
Oh no, I didn't realize. So you have a jailbroken iPhone?
Oh, it's not jailbroken, but it's like you have to like do the capture on your phone, and you have like a Safari, like the web browser has a debug mode that you
yeah.
can connect to the browser on the phone, so it does not require jailbreak, but it does need your phone to do the capture.
Okay.
Capture scene, yeah.
Wow. So, and then your data cable is it a lightning bolt?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't realize that you were using a phone to scrape the QQ session.
Oh, this thing is really annoying. Like when, and I have not like bind the like cell phone number to
yeah.
that spare account. So if I like forget the password, that would be like
open
very
VoIP, 929,
annoying to get that account back, I think.
Wow.
Huh.
Do you need a cable? I've got a bunch of cables.
Oh, I can probably buy one, but it's like, it's holiday, like. I mean, it's not holiday, but it's like school are taking off.
Yeah.
So like the school's like shop wasn't open.
Yeah.
So I need to like get it like on Tuesday. So.
I see. So Monday the school's closed.
Yes.
Oh, I see. That's okay. I was wondering what was going on. I checked it last night and it seemed to be frozen, so I guess that if that's when it. But it's
no
big deal.
Yeah, like actually, that's caused by that could be like some problem. So I have like reduced the like working thread of the program to like so like the program might easier to.
Yeah.
Broke or something, but like I thought that could make it like easier to do some like adding new features, but seems yeah.
Wow, I can't believe you have to use an iPhone app to access QQ chat.
Yeah.
can't you run an iPhone emulator under QEM or something?
I mean, like, get a QEMU is, like, much harder since I do have the actual hardware, so. I mean,
wow.
if you got an Android phone, I think that also works, but yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if you did jailbreak your iPhone, if you can SSH into it and then do the scraping that way.
I don't know. But probably I can, but yeah.
But you're using their web app, and it's tied to your phone. So.
Oh yeah, like
that's the issue.
Like,
okay, so it's kind of a their security type thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh well. No problem. So yeah, Emacs China went down and QQCon went down. That's okay.
Did you say?
Oh well. So did you watch the video stream?
Oh, you mean like this afternoon?
Yeah.
But at night, yeah, I was there.
Okay.
I hope you noticed me in the chat com.
There's a lot of people there.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, but I can see myself like showing up like on the screen.
Oh really? Oh okay.
Yeah.
I should have asked somebody to collect all the questions and the questions so that I didn't have to go back and scroll through and look for them. I didn't think about that. I didn't realize there'd be so many people though. So. But
like how many? Like 50.
There, the Twitch stream always gives you a report at the end, and it said that there over, you know, because it was like an hour and a half, and it said there was 86 unique viewers, and then 46.5 average. So 46.5 average is pretty good. That's you know, out of 86 people. I don't know if that was just 86. The 20, what the 30 or so that didn't stick around, or I guess that's more than that. If they were just random people that came across the stream and just like, oh, I'm not gonna watch.
Oh
that.
Yeah, what's that?
but anyways, I mean, we had kept an average of 46.5, so I thought that was really good. I hope.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of got nervous when I saw the numbers jumping up like that, and I was.
Oh wow!
So, I'm trying to edit the video because there's a lot of parts where I'm just kind of like, I noticed so many people, and I just kind of got nervous and
oh,
I started stumbling over my words.
I think you did really well, Hansi.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank
Open
you.
VoIP 929.
You never know.
1269.
The things that I feel bad about is like when somebody asks a question and I don't know what the answer is, or I can't help them. And then the couple
yeah.
of people that said that they couldn't get email.
Yeah, that thing is. I mean, the first time I did get the email, but like the password is wrong.
Oh, the password? Yes. Yeah, it got changed. That you may have got two emails, and one
yeah.
has the proper
yeah,
password.
Yeah, I got the second one, and that was
yeah.
perfectly yeah.
It's not scripted because I don't want to open it up to
yeah
just like people creating accounts.
Yeah,
so there's
like...
some vetting that happens. Otherwise, we'll get like all of the we'll get a bunch of QQ numbers. I'm sorry, not QQ numbers. You know, yeah, QQ numbers, right? Spam bots. And the other thing too is I want people to be able to log in. So I feel really bad when people can't log in.
Yeah.
But did you see that the system ran out of processes?
Yeah, actually, I have like experienced once.
Yeah.
During the stream, like temporarily trying to like run LS, like it just reports like run after of like processor.
Yeah. So I was after the stream, I went and talked to in the cat-v chat room with Ori and Synap, and they were talking about it, and it's actually it's almost a philosophical deal. It's partially philosophical and partially a
mm-hmm.
An exponential issue, because they were both talking about, sure, you could just go in there and limit it to 4,000, but
oh,
then
yeah.
what happens if you run into that problem? What happens if you exceed it? And so the thing that they're thinking is that that it has to be scalable, especially since machines are getting faster and more memory is available.
Oh, yeah. So there is
yeah.
like a hard limit, like some it parameters. That,
yeah. In fact, so the way that the kernel, because I was looking at the source code when they were talking about it, and the way that the kernel determines the maximum number of processes is that it basically does some measurements of the system, and then what it does is that the calculation that it makes for the max number of processes based on certain criteria, if that exceeds 2,000, then it sets it to 2,000. So it like has this self-imposed limit of 2,000 processes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Synap said the solution in the Plan 9 way of thinking, okay, is to add another CPU server.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. Versus the Unix solution is to tune the system up.
Yeah,
and the Linux.
Compile the
yeah.
kernel with different
yeah.
parameters. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, they told me that, and I already did compile a kernel, I just haven't loaded it yet with more processes, but, and I don't know if we're ever going to exceed 4,000,
right.
So it might be okay, but Ori's thinking is that, well, you know, if you say 4,000, then, you know, why not 16,000? Why not a million, you know? And then...
Yeah,
but
you probably won't get that much, like, people logging.
Right, yeah, that's true. For us, I think it's going to stay... It'll stay small and it'll solve the problem locally. But, you know, they got into the philosophical idea of
mm-hmm.
how do you scale
a
Plan
server.
9. Yeah. And... The other thing, too, is that the memory that the kernel maps is pretty small compared to Like, it doesn't go and grab everything and then just cache it. Like, isn't that the way Linux does? I think NetBSD does it as well. Like, if you have, like, 32 gigs, it goes and it just allocates all of it and uses it for caching. And, you know, and just, like, anything that it looks up more than once, it, like, sticks it in a cache in memory. And buffer caching the file system. That's why, if you've ever done an LS on NetBSD, and it's kind of slow at first on like a big directory with a lot of UIDs, and then you do it again and it's like really fast, it's because it took that whole thing and just shoved it into a buffer so that it could call it back faster if it ever needed to. So, buffer cache, but. Anywho, it was a small problem, but it was kind of cute to see it happen.
Oh yeah, like people get involved too.
Yeah. And I feel bad when anybody has any problem like being out of processes, but at the same time, it was just kind of funny that it happened. And my first thought though, I was thinking, oh crap, did somebody run like a fork bomb? You know.
Yeah, I was running like LC, and I thought like, what does LC does?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, I checked the manual like to make sure it isn't some like weird command.
Oh, yeah, LC, LS. I guess on the old Unix system there was a command called LSD.
Oh,
yeah, LSD, but list columns is what LC stands for, and then, of course, there's no dash A. You can't do an LS-LA.
Yeah, because, like, all files, like, dot files are shown.
Yeah, exactly. So they kind of, that's really another thing in the Plan 9 way of thinking is, like, keep it simple, you know, and don't implement a feature just for the sake of implementing a feature, like implement something with purpose.
Yeah, I mean, like dot file is kind of lame.
Yeah. What's the difference between a dot file and a normal file? I mean, I guess there was the idea that dot files were somewhat hidden, and not in a secret way, that just that they were hidden from normal viewing, that you would have to explicitly list those files. So I think that in Plan 9, it was just like, that's unnecessary. All files are files. Who cares? You know, the idea of a hidden file or whatever. The other thing, too, is that was considered a limitation of LS on printing terminals, so that you wouldn't list all the files. Like if you had a bunch of dot files, you wouldn't have to print them all out on your teletype. So that's another argument that Plan 9 would say, like, well, you don't have a teletype anymore.
Yes.
Virtual paper is cheap. It does, and it doesn't deplete the ozone layer. So I was hoping to cover some more specific things that I think I should have had better notes about doing kind of the introductory thing, but
I just went straight through to,
it's hard. I mean, you kind of have to assume that your audience has some kind of Unix knowledge. Otherwise, why would they be interested in Plan 9? Maybe.
Yeah, I think today just someone in the chat room like asks why there is no tab compilation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's that. There actually is a completion. I should have been able to answer that question. There is.
I found it's like Control F.
That's right. Yeah. So there are a few things that just kind of having to
open
get your head around those
concepts.
And it is, some people have complained about having to use the mouse and especially using the mouse for QWERTYing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. That's the kind of thing that you just kind of have to
get used to.
Yeah, you got to get used to it. It's not that you have to force yourself into it. It's like if you're forcing yourself into learning something new, it's like, why bother? Just go do something old then, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's a fun way to exercise your brain and learn new things and then realize what kind of things you've been doing out of habit. It reveals a lot, I think.
Yeah, so about like completion. So
mm-hmm.
last week I was like teaching someone like very new to programming. I mean, he's a like computer science student, but like, he's still not get used to use like shell
command.
And
okay.
I'm like really frustrated because he does not like use tab completion that frequently.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does he just type out everything?
Yes.
Okay.
So I was like trying to like kind of like force him to use tab completion, but like he still end up like, I mean, copy pasting.
Oh, copy paste. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, copy paste from like last command, the output of last command. Actually, I think that's what I did like plan 9
yeah.
most of the time.
Yeah, I think for plan 9, that's kind of like the way you go is like,
yeah,
you know, that's, you know, look back, scroll back in your window buffer and go and edit things.
And send it.
And then send it. Yeah, exactly. It's the facility is there. That was a good point. I kind of fluffed that example up where you scroll back and then you build a command out of your what you'd previously been working on and edit it all in the mess of your scroll back and then send it to the command line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to do, but I didn't do it. It's a real, that kind of way is like you cannot do that on Unix. You can't scroll back and then edit things and then send it to the command line. You can't. You gotta recall it from the history, history. Then you gotta command line edit it. And then you have to press return, right? That's kind of like the way you do it.
Yeah.
It's like, so
yeah, I think you haven't like show how to use the Q program.
What's that?
The Q like command.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's why it's where you're supposed to use then to like execute one of the output, which I think is really cool because yeah.
Mhm. Oh right, where you kill. And it goes and tells you what to do, and then you, yeah.
Just
maybe,
like select one and like execute it.
Right. Yeah. Maybe I'll do that next time.
Yeah.
Well, you can also do, did you, you know you can just pipe it to RC, right?
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to play rough, you can just kill you know, the process you want to kill and then pipe to RC and it'll kill it.
Yeah, pipe to RC.
Blindly, yeah. If
yeah,
you want
just
to be...
don't want to kill your window manager.
Yeah, oh yeah, sure. Yeah. And then as far as communication with processes, it depends on, you know, what processes are listening for, but I did find out that if you just send random strings to note, you can, it'll cause
your
process to exit.
You can just
cross
your process.
Yeah. So I was just.
Yeah, I'm glad it doesn't produce like a dump file.
Oh yeah, a core file. Yeah. But I guess that question about screen or TMUX, that's kind of a big
open
one, I think, for a lot of people that they
want
to have.
Yeah, if you want to like seriously like use that for like scientific computation stuff, whatever.
That's true. You probably don't. You probably don't want to be doing it that way. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there was.
There are four.
You don't have to run Rio, right? You can RCPU into a server and run a command, or you can just run an RCPU command and not even, you know, deal with the remote server. Just throw the
job just over like there. just a standard output input.
Yeah. So I think, you know, again, that's kind of it's a philosophical question about how to use distributed computing and a remote machine. Do you really want to log in and run all this stuff and have some kind of thing that you reattach to and check to see how the progress is going, or do you just want to throw it over there, let it do its work, and then give you
the output to a file or whatever?
Yeah, like a carrier pigeon, you know, throwing a pigeon out the window. You're not going to like constantly check on it, or you know, trying to like make an analogy. It's like, a pigeon sending a message out to the battlefield or something. I don't know. Got to put some faith into it, I suppose, and then wait for it to come back and tell you what it did. Right. But yeah, I mean, that brings up the question. I mean, then you have people that are that will then try to implement a terminal manager, or you know, something to allow them to attach processes back.
Yeah, session manager.
Yeah.
I mean, ITS is really good because I think it has like come with like session manager by default.
Yeah. Right. Well, Yes. Hello.
I think we can even like attach other people's data process like to close it.
Oh, in ITS?
Yes, you can like.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, did you know though that if you have a crashed or a crashed process in Plan 9, you can attach a debugger to it and then call window and reopen a window?
Oh, I didn't know, but I think that would be cool.
It's a different way of thinking, because I think it'll restart the process. So it might not be like what folks are thinking about, like in a TMUX or a screen thing. Maybe I can show how that works, and maybe somebody might.
Yeah, like showing debugger is like good.
Yeah.
I mean, for common Lisp, I have SBCL running in a thread, and if like a thread just like throw out some exception and chop into the debugger, and I can just type something in the repo and like attached to that thread, which is and you can call like restart or just like kill that thread, whatever. Like common Lisp is really good in that kind of things. KVM networking. Like you stay up like until 4 a.m.
What's that?
Oh, I think DQK says he stay up like until 4 a.m.
4 a.m. Oh!
Yeah.
I see. Oh, you're looking in COM on Plan 9 server. I see. Wow. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the users are worldwide, huh?
Yeah. Oh, so for today's challenge, have you
Yes.
like noticed that it actually the phase like input actually accepts the like X phase?
Oh, the X face.
Yeah, it's actually
Open
compatible
VoIP
with the
929
output of X face.
299
Oh, is it?
1269.
I think, yeah, I think I knew that. I think that X face took the format, 'cause it's just a, I mean, it's a readable format, but it comes from the Blit.
There are four other parties in this conference.
Yes, so I see the menu says like 48 times 48 times 1 bit. I thought
Yes.
that's just X face. And
Yeah,
I got, yeah.
faces on the Blit from 82 or 1983, they're compatible with Plan 9. It's the same format. They're just single bit because, you know, there's no color on the Blit. It's just a stipple.
Yeah, just to reduce some space, I guess.
Well, I mean, it just doesn't have any color.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, one bit depth is kind of, there's no gradient. But yeah, I was looking at, I mean, the whole idea with the challenges is not to be cryptic, but also just not give the solution away. So it's interesting to see what different people are discovering.
Yeah.
And then of course, like the earlier submissions will have less faces than the later submissions, so it'll be cool to see it kind of grow as people figure it out.
Oh, how to do that? Yeah.
Yeah, they'll, you know, as they add their faces. And hopefully people will keep logging in. I hope so.
Yeah, they are like how many people? 800.
390.
Oh, yeah, registered for
Yeah,
the challenge.
register 390 registered, and then 44 logged in. There was 56 while we were doing the stream. But I want to help those people get connected. I don't know if it's because it's too
Time
different.
zone,
It's too
yeah.
different. Like someone will email and say, "I can't SSH.
Oh yeah.
I can't SSH in." Well, at least they're trying
I
SSH.
mean, not get something like ChaosNet.
Oh yeah. You know what I mean, though. It's just like I'm trying to telnet from my Commodore 64 or something. You know, that kind of thing. It's like, no, that's not the activity. But yeah, I gotta go back and find all the people that said hello and welcome for their extra points.
Oh, on the okay.
Yeah, that was kind of a hidden bonus.
Okay. Is there something like tail command?
Tail?
Yeah, something like tail plan 9.
Yes.
Oh yeah, there is tail.
There's no head, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact,
Right.
and there's no cut. There's no head and there's no cut. And the reason what thinking again is that awk can do those things, so just use
Yeah,
awk.
Ok can do that.
Yeah, just use awk. Don't implement a command just or a feature just to implement the feature, so but there are two bugs though that Ori fixed in awk over the weekend. Well, I guess it is still the weekend.
No. Okay.
One bug The funny thing is, like, so one of the bugs was, I don't know if it was almost like a syntactical thing.
Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
It had to do with numeric sequencing. And I went to Unix 50 to boot version 7 Unix. That's the first version that I have that has awk. And then I tried it in version 7 Unix, absolutely hated the test case. It's just like, I'm not going to parse this. This is wrong. This isn't awk. And so that made me start thinking, well, maybe this is a syntactical thing. Maybe it's a GNU awk or a gawk idea. Or maybe it was an awk. So I went and I checked Research Unix 8, and it didn't have the same behavior as Plan 9, but had it had the same reaction that version 7.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I didn't try NAWK on Research 8. It's I should see. But either way, Ori thought that it was just misimplemented. So he fixed that. And apparently that bug had been in awk for like 37 years.
Yeah, so you dig it like almost first few versions of Unix to find that bug.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and then the second bug, the maintainers of NAWK, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Submitted a patch, but it had not yet been committed to the or merged with the main, the main branch. So I was telling Ori, I was like, "Go commit it. You know, I'll test it." And so he committed it to the Plan 9 source tree, and it's still not committed on the main branch for
NAWK. Yeah, I guess that was, like, nobody.
So funny. It's just so funny. It's like, Plan 9, or 9 front, we're fast. Sorry about your OS.
So one strange thing I found with the C compiler is like it used like the main function returns void, which I think is it's totally heretic.
Yeah. Well, I think that was Ken's suggestion. I mean, Ken's thinking.
Already?
I thought
it's like the same reason behind like path contains like current directory.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. So today, so like echo path in RC, it gives like first is slash bin and the second is a dot, which means like the current directory is always including in the path.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah. So I think that's like also like how the Windows or like DOS.
Yes. Yeah.
So I saw like someone really like DOS like has like involved into the design of it.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't that... I mean, I've heard different arguments about having dot in your path.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, if somebody plants some nefarious program... but I mean, the order, though, is that it wouldn't execute...
Yeah, the order is different.
Yeah.
If it's placed before... Like
oh, sure. Yeah, then you could cause havoc.
you can just hijack some frequent use command.
Yeah. And you saw that when I did the append the bind and have two files called test,
mm-hmm.
where they show up in the same union, and it's just like, which one is which?
Which one is which? Yeah, I'm also confused when I see like there are like files of the same name in the same directory. That's impossible in Unix, I think.
Yeah. I mean, right. The only way that they show up is if they're symbolic links to, like, the... But at the same time, there would be a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not possible, but with Bind...
Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
And, you know, and then it starts making you think, like, oh, the whole directory hierarchy is an illusion that I created. You know, it's just like... Bind, it makes you start realizing how powerful and flexible mm-hmm. Bind is that you can build the file system to look like whatever you want.
Yeah, that's also like process isolation. Where...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And it only would be for the whatever process you're running. For instance, the pre-compiled Go compiler, when that was installed, it wanted to find the root certificates in syslib TLS.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not there. So it complained whenever it was like trying to go grab modules or something like that, where it needed... you know, root certificate to make a secure connection or to verify. And so what the user did was they just issued a bind command on syslib TLS and then added it to their local, $home/lib TLS. Mm-hmm. And you think about that, you can't do that on a Unix system because you wouldn't have permission to write a symbolic link in syslib TLS.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't point it, but in Plan 9 you can just make a bind, and then the file system will appear in the way that you want it to look like. So I thought that was a great use of Plan 9 to do that, and it didn't require a system administrator or a root privilege or anything like that. The user could do it
completely on their own. I think that is something on Unix control root, which you can create.
Okay, yeah. Right, right.
Yeah, but that's
it's a work, right. That's a workaround.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's also the thing is that ideas like that where they were thinking about that for Research Unix, and it's just like at some point someone is just like, can't we just throw this all away and start over? You know, I wonder how many times they asked that question and then finally they did it.
Yeah, but the outcome is still like kind of interesting.
Yeah. Right.
How much time we got?
Okay. 17 minutes.
Cool.
Oh, am I still in QAM on 9P server? Yes. It got quiet.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I can play games mine, whatever. Okay, it's been game. Group mine. What's that called? Mines, okay. So that game is quite interesting. So I think that's like very authentic clone to Windows XP game.
Oh, Minesweeper?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you try it with, let's see. Try it with, just give it all the arguments. Mine's AEQ. Did you try that?
Oh, so it's got arguments? Okay.
Yeah. There's a argument for... Oh! Sorry. There's a hidden argument. So type games minds dash G.
What's that?
Do that. And then let go of your mouse.
Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
And what? Oh.
It's okay. A robot.
Pac-Man.
Yeah, it's a robot. In the like the ghost, if the ghost hits a bomb, it gets scared.
Oh, like the automatic one.
Yeah, it gets scared, and then it and then if it blows up, it gets angry.
Okay, so that's a kind of interesting one.
Yeah.
So I think they deliberately omitted a help menu.
Oh, what did they deliberately?
So they don't have a... Oh, it has a menu, okay. So I need to get used to the fact not all programs accept the H flag.
Oh, I see.
Oh, so it has a advanced difficulty, I see. Okay, let's try advanced.
Yeah. It has advanced and then it has expert.
Yeah, that's much fun to do.
Oh, I just wanted you to be able to see the robot play.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I still,
mm-hmm.
I mean... I'll take my time on editing the video, but I'll get that up tonight and then I'll send it out on the mailing list.
Oh yeah.
I don't think everybody's on the mailing list though. So.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah.
So. I don't ever sure if everyone would use that email.
That's true, too. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, it's so difficult. I hate emailing people, you know, even though it's like I'm telling them, something that they're getting for free and they don't have to pay anything. They just have to show up and use it. And it's like, I still feel guilty to send them an email.
Like
hey,
sending cumbers.
Yeah, your account's ready. You haven't logged in yet. Are you having any problems?
Okay.
I feel bad to do that.
Yeah, so I
like,
see
stop
that.
Spamming me.
Yeah, that's kind of... Oh. So I just checked my Emacs to read email.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did it have a message from Plant from the Plant 9 server?
It does. but no, I think I use my SDF email for Plant 9.
Yeah.
So but I use my original email account for Genix.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so I think I first registered Twinix and then found SDF.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You should be able to change your password. Hello.
Yeah, you should be able to change your password. That's something that only you know. Someone keeps trying to log in as Blue, but there's no user named Blue, so I don't know what's going on.
So I think they have a local username.
Oh, I see. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, and they forget to use like something like their username on SDF, art as tty.sdf. Yeah. That sometimes happens to me because like I have like a Windows computer that sets a different username than, than LDAP.
OpenVoIP 929-299-1269.
Right, so maybe it's just draw a term passing their local user, trying to authenticate with their the local username. It defaults to that anyways. I think I mentioned that.
Yeah. And it cannot be like set in GUI. So yeah, it's a good idea to keep all username consistent everywhere.
Well, yeah, if you just don't want to, right, type it. That's right. That's right. In the nine front, sorry, in the draw term GUI, unless you call it from the command line and tell it dash you your remote username, it'll just assume that you're going to log in as your local username. That's right. I wonder if it can't find the local username, I wonder if draw term will, like if I unset log name, I wonder if draw term will try to, I'm going to
use
try
that. Use a new string?
Oh, I don't think I can do that.
Oh, I can like just set user, what's that, name? I use like a different shell instead. So I don't use like any standard like POSIX shell.
Uh-huh.
So when I try to echo something, I need to prefix that variable with E to indicate it's an external variable.
Yeah.
There are 5 other parties in this conference.
So we got more people at the end of the conference.
Yeah, apparently.
Mhm.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Welcome.
You are on like open voice room.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. We can hear you. Hello.
All right. How you doing?
Doing okay.
Doing good.
I don't know. There's a bit of a. Cool. So yeah, I joined the boot camp today. That was pretty fun. So I'm very happy about
cool.
that. Thank you very much, SMJ.
Oh, awesome! I'm really glad to hear that you're enjoying it. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Did you happen to catch the video or the live stream?
Yes, I was there for live stream. I'm Pie Guy.
Oh, okay. Hi, Pie Guy. Oh, you're the one that you knew about Dev Snarf. Is that what you knew, or was that something else? I didn't know what.
I don't think it was me
Snarf.
That caught that one. It was the.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for me it was the bind-a and the bind-b that I found out.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That I think you had mentioned.
That's really good to know because. I just always have used bind-a, and I never really needed use an order thing. But did you test it out and show that it actually does behave in that way where you can order things?
I didn't do too strict a test, no. It was really just me guessing, because I know that there is an order that when you type an S, that it executes, like it does print out an order. I didn't really do too thorough a check, though, to see, like, if it actually respects that order that it prints it out in.
I guess that would be, that would be an important thing that somebody would want to implement, because order is important. But, yeah, that was a good catch. Good one. Cool. I'll have to I have to burn that in my memory so I can just remember.
Thank you.
Oh.
Remember to use dash B.
Yeah, before, after, so we see it.
Right, so you build the union, and then if you wanted to, like, rather than destroy the union, and or singularly unmount things from it. You could manipulate it with dash B if you needed. Seems like it. I don't know.
Yeah.
For me, I think I just destroy the union, or I don't even just use a dash whatever. I just recreate it.
Open voice.
Over the top. I think
anytime
I mess up the namespace, I just do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good one. And then I saw you had a post about HubFS, which seems interesting. I think I remember reading about that at one point, but never making use of it. But HubFS is a interesting way to do it.
Yeah, I think so.
Functionality.
Yeah, I recall you were talking about that a little while ago, about whether there is such a equivalent in the nine space. But I think, yeah, Mycroftiv, if you know him, I think he used it for his ants thing when he was still maintaining that.
Okay.
I think that was like what maybe provided the infrastructure for the grid chat that he had going.
Okay.
Or there was something that involved HubFS with that. I didn't fiddle with it too deeply other than through that interface, but yeah, I think from my understanding of the README, it should have like some, at least you can like implement a screen like thing on top of it.
Right. Yeah. I'm just looking through it. Cool. What was the name of the paint program that you found? Hi, guy.
Oh, for my screenshot?
What was the name of the...
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I think there's a little bit of lag that I'm getting here.
Oh, okay. What was the name
of...
Yeah,
it was just
yeah.
Paint, I think. I don't know if it comes with Ninefront or if it was a add-on that STF threw on, but yeah, it was just Paint or Ninepaint.
Oh, I see. You're actually running on a 4-core Pi. Is that what you're running? Are you running on, is that your screenshot is on?
It's actually an X220T. Yeah, and then I'm RCPUing into 9P.
I gotcha. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for some reason that screenshot from my device screen like takes several seconds.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Because it's actually going it's going through a network lag. So that's why Cat Clock will go psychedelic.
Oh, so it's like actually downloading the screen from your local router to that.
Yes, and it gets into a tiny feedback loop.
Oh, so So if you like trying to cat the output to like local disk through like mount point, does that get faster?
I haven't tried that yet, but I think so.
Yeah, let me try out.
Yeah, there was Sigrid was working on RTEMP that would allow live streaming from Ninefront, but it only works if you're running locally, not if you're remotely draw terming, and it kind of works, but what happens is it just builds up so much lag that eventually it just kind of goes infinitely slow.
Yeah. So let's try see if there's some optimizations here. So, and if there is something like creating animation, like like the cat claw, you got distorted like image.
Yes. Right.
out.
Now you can be the DJ with SDF open mic.
For beat creation, why?
Get on the mic. Yo, check it. Get on that mic. You are the DJ.